Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. The God of love and of all creation surrounds us with his presence. Let us worship the God of all people. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or if you've just recently begun attending West End, we're pleased that you're here this morning, and those of us who are around week in and week out would like to seek you out, shake your hand, welcome you, make you feel right at home. And if we don't get to you quickly enough, you can introduce yourselves to us because we do want to know you, and we would love it if you would make your spiritual home here with us in this community. One way to do that is by being involved in what God is doing in and through this community. You can find a lot of that information in your bulletin inserts. I hope you'll look at all of those announcements. They're all very important. I'm going to lift up just a few things. First of all, if you happen to leave worship through the Reed Hall door, you'll see several tables set up in Reed Hall. At one of those, you can sign up for a variety of disciple Bible study classes, for the New Covenant class, lots of options for Bible study out there. I hope you'll stop, look those over, and take advantage of those. Also, there is a table where you can sign up as a volunteer for Habitat for Humanity, for our build that we joined with other United Methodist churches in the area to do. And there is a place where you can sign up for the Pictorial Directory. This is the last week that you can do that. If you haven't already signed up, find you a spot, sign up. It's very helpful to have as many photographs of as many of you all in there as possible. So please take advantage of that if you would. And then I have a very special announcement. I'd like to introduce to you Lisa Guak. Lisa joined our staff just this past week as our Minister of Missions and Outreach. She has served in the North Alabama Conference. She has served here in the Tennessee Conference. She is a deacon and a member of the Tennessee Conference, a leader among the deacons, and also a leader in our Board of Ordained Ministry. She will be helping lead our efforts in missions and outreach. She has just recently been doing a good deal of prison ministry, which prepares her for one aspect of that certainly. And I hope when you see, I want you to see Lisa, so when you see her, greet her, find out more about her and also about what this congregation is doing in missions and outreach. Lisa, welcome. Now, Jesus said a sower went out to sow seed. Wait, who are the seed? I'll give you a hint.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Melt us, mold us, use us.
Spirit of the living God,
teach us, lead us, love us.
Spirit of the living God,
help us to realize that we are never alone.
As a community of faith, let us join our voices together in confession. Understanding God, we confess that we have not always been faithful, that we have fallen and forgotten to look to you for the strength to rise. We have practiced shallow faith and have failed to remember our commitment to you. Please help us to always listen for your word, to do your will, and to look for your presence in our lives. Forgive us of our sins and shortcomings, and help us to look to you for future guidance. By God's grace, we are always remembered. And by God's grace, we are always forgiven. Amen.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Katie and Clement bring their daughter, Hayes Catherine Ledbetter, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
And the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Clement and Kathy, I ask you, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through water and the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan, to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness. Throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
Hayes Catherine Ledbetter.
Hayes Catherine Ledbetter. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Will you put your hand on her? Hayes Catherine, you being born of water and the Spirit, may the Holy Spirit work within you that you may be a true disciple all of your days. Amen.
Will the congregation please stand and face Hayes Catherine? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Hayes Catherine to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Hayes Catherine,
and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Verses 1 through 9 and 18 to 23. La lectura del Evangelio de San Mateo. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another, 30. La palabra de Dios para el pueblo de Dios. The word of God for the people of God. Gracias damos a Dios.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come down and sit up front with us, we're glad to have you do that. You can even bring your parents if you want to. Today, we're going to talk about a story that Jesus told, and it's a story about a farmer who's planting seed. Now, I grew up on a farm and near farms, and there were several ways to plant seed. One is to lay off a row, and you just kind of drop the seeds along the row, and you come back and you cover them up. Another way is that you make little hills, and they look just like little hills, and you poke your finger in there, and you put three or four seeds in there, and you cover them up. Another is that you simply throw the seed out and it lands wherever it will. It's called broadcasting the seeds. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Now, when I was in fifth grade, my teacher, Mrs. Potter, told me a story about planting. Now, I had done this myself, but not exactly the way she did. She said when she was just a child, when she was a little girl, she was helping her father plant beans. And he told her how to do it. You go down the row, you make a little hill, you poke your fingers in, you put three or four beans in, and you cover them up. Well, she started doing that, going down the row. It got really hot. It was one of those hot summer days, and she got really tired. And so after two or three rows, she thought, you know, these are all under the dirt. Nobody's going to know if I put them all in one place. So she just kind of dug out a big hill, put all the rest of the beans in there, and covered them up. Well, that worked for a while. But when the beans began to grow out of the ground, the bean plants, guess what happened? They got tangled. There were a few rows that were just fine because she had planted those in hills. And then there were some rows that didn't have anything in them. And there was one big clump of tangled bean plants where she had put all of those seeds. She said she learned a good lesson from that. And I think she was trying to teach us that lesson too, that you're supposed to do exactly what your parents tell you because they actually know how to do these things right. Now, Jesus is helping us understand how God wants us to do things, and he's talking not just about seed, he's talking about us. He's talking about people and how we grow to reflect the love of God, how we grow to show the love of God to other people. Just like seeds grow, we can grow. And this is the place where we grow, in this church community and in our families. This is where we learn how to do that, and we see other people doing that, and we can follow their example and learn to love God and our neighbor, which is basically what Jesus is talking about. So as I talk about the seeds and the planting, you'll understand what I'm talking about, won't you? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for planting your love in our hearts and our lives. Thank you for allowing us to grow, to reflect your love, to show your love to others. With your help, we believe that we can show your love to all we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. For a lot of folks, this story is just kind of an abstract parable that Jesus tells. But for me, it brings back some very, very specific memories. As I mentioned before, I grew up on an old rocky hillside in Montgomery County. We moved there when I was 9 years old. And one of my jobs was to help pick up the rocks on that rocky hillside. Whenever my dad thought I had been idle for a little too long, now, he enjoyed my reading books, but if I read books for way too long, he'd send me out to get some exercise, fresh air, picking up rocks. If I got into trouble, very frequently, my punishment was to be sent out to pick up rocks. The thing about that hillside, however, was that you could go out there and you could pick out a spot and you could pick up the rocks in that particular area, put them in a bucket, carry them over, throw them on the rock pile, and by the time you got back, they had proliferated. There were twice as many as before you started. At least it seemed that way to me. It felt like a field of never-ending rocks. But we were able to clear a good part of it, and so, as I described to the children, we would lay off rows, and we would have beans and corns and corn and squash and tomatoes, and I had a row of peanuts that my dad let me plant on one side of it. And then we planted a cover crop during the winter. And for the cover crop, of course, we would just broadcast the seed so it would cover the entire garden, the entire field. So when I hear this story, it brings back very, very specific memories and actions. Now, in our day and time, that's not true for most people. But when Jesus was first telling this story, even if the people hearing it were fishermen, were carpenters, whatever they did, they would have had experience of seeing farmers casting seed. Because as they walked from place to place, they would have been passing by farms and watching as The farmer cast the seed, and perhaps they saw some of it fall on the path. Perhaps they stepped on it as they walked along the way. They would have been very aware of these images, and they would have been very real for them. So, why this particular story? It appears in three of the Gospels, and it's the only story that has an explanation connected to it, an interpretation connected to it. Usually when Jesus tells a story, he ends it the way he ends the first part of this. You who have ears to hear, let's hear. In this story, it seems like Jesus is addressing a particular issue that was very important to the early communities of faith. Now, there are some scholars who will tell you that perhaps those gospel writers created this story and put it in Jesus' mouth in order to address those issues. There are others who will say that there was a vast oral tradition out there concerning Jesus, lots more stories than we have, and that each gospel writer chose those stories that seemed to apply to their life at that time. Now, I tend to subscribe to that idea about how the Gospels came together and which stories were saved. So clearly, there was an issue that was being addressed in the early church, as well as Jesus talking about sowing seed. He's not just talking about agriculture here. In the early church, there were some people who, when the disciples went out to try to preach the gospel of God's love, couldn't hear it for whatever reason. And there were those who were attracted to the community, but when things got tough, they left. There were those who came and became established, but the cares of the world were too great and pulled them away. And then there are those who came and planted themselves and were rooted in that place and in that gospel. Well, we face the same thing today. It's remarkable how similar this is to experience in the life of the church today, because there are folks who simply cannot hear the good news of God's love. Sometimes it's because we don't present it well. Sometimes it's because they've been hurt by churches in the past and felt rejected. For whatever reason, there are going to be folks who just won't hear the gospel of God's love, no matter how well we feel like we've presented it. Then there are those folks who get really excited, and every church has had experience of this. They get really, really excited. They come and they get involved, and they come to everything, and they join every group, and after about 2 weeks, you don't see them again. Or a month, they're gone. Then there are those folks who come, and because of the demands of work, and you know as well as I that modern technology has done away with the 40-hour work week, you're on call 24/7. We all are, if you have a cell phone anyway. And the demand for time and the demand for attention, any time you spend on church, any time you spend on the gospel, is time taken away from that work. And as we all know, time is money. And sometimes there are folks who come, and because of Jesus' insistence on everybody being provided with enough, that challenges those of us who have great resources to share those resources. That challenges the income disparity that we experience, that they experienced in those days. It becomes too difficult to square their understanding of the world that they live out there and the understanding of the gospel that they're trying to live in here, and they leave. And then there are those who take root. That's you, right? You wouldn't be here if you weren't. You are the ones who are here, and you are attempting your best to show that love of God to others. Our mission statement here is that we are here to share the loving light of Christ, connecting people to God and to each other so that in those relationships they can be transformed. That's what we believe we're called to do. And everything that we do here, everything that exists for us, is supposed to help us do that. Now, as I said before, Jesus gives an interpretation of this parable. He tells the parable to a larger crowd, but then he takes his disciples aside. If you've read much in the Gospels, you know that the disciples are a little thick when it comes to hearing what Jesus had to say. And so at least in this instance, he felt like he needed to spell it out, so they wouldn't just think he was talking about farming, which with this group was a great danger. Okay? It's a danger probably for any of us, to be truthful. But as I've looked at this story across the years, as I've studied it, it's probably one you have known since childhood if you grew up in the church. I recognize very quickly that we're the seeds, okay? Those of us who can and those of us who can't hear are the seeds in that story. And we are to be planted and we are to grow. And our one job description is to bear fruit. Do you ever think about that? The one thing that we are called to do is to bear the fruit of God's love in the world, in our lives, that loving light of Christ, the love for God and for neighbor that Jesus specifies as being the most important of the commandments. Of all the things we do, they are supposed to be preparing us for that one thing, to bear fruit. For several years, Margaret and I planted tomato plants. Actually, Margaret did the planting. She's the gardener. I should tell the truth, shouldn't I? And they would be eaten by the rabbits, I imagine. And we were feeding the animals that lived around our house until Lizzie brought her cat home to live with us for a while. And for the first year in years, we actually have tomatoes because the rabbits are scared to come in the yard. A tomato plant that doesn't produce tomatoes is worthless. A Christian who doesn't produce the fruit of God's love, do I need to say it? We're worthless. That's our one job. The one job of a tomato plant is to produce tomatoes. The one job of a Christian is to bear the fruit of God's love in the world for all people. That is our job. But as I've read this story, I've come to a different understanding, one I never saw until I approached it actually this time. And that is, if we individually are the seeds, then we as a community are the field. Our job as a community of faith is to be a fertile field, so that when you seeds come and get planted, you will get the nourishment you need to go and spread the loving light of Christ wherever you go. So this building is a beautiful building, one of the most beautiful I've ever stood in. And we're getting ready to have a capital campaign, you'll hear more about that in the future, to help make sure we take care of this building. But unless this building is the fertile ground where we learn the love of God and Jesus Christ so that we can take it into the world, it's worthless. Its sole purpose for being here is to help prepare us to bear fruit in the world. As you go out this door, you'll have tables and all kinds of opportunities to work on the Habitat House, to do Bible study. At other times, you might be enlisted to be a Sunday school teacher. You might share your gifts as a choir member. You might go on a mission trip. We think of those as programs. But they're not just programs. They are ways of cultivating these seeds so that we can bear fruit in the world. Unless these programs help us to bear the fruit of God's love in the world, they're worthless. We don't need to be doing them. You see, we are God's field. We can't take responsibility for those seeds that may fall here and for whatever reason they can't stay. All we can do is make everyone feel as welcome as we possibly can. To know that they are a beloved child of God. And that this could very well be the fertile field where they can grow and bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Now, it may not be. I mean, we are not everybody's cup of tea, and that's okay. I have always, through these 40 years, encouraged people to find that congregation where they can live out their faith most fully, where they can bear fruit. If it's here, that's great. If it's not, then find the place where you can. Because that's the important thing. The important thing is not that we get more members at West End. The important thing is that those who come here find a fertile field so they can grow and bear fruit of God's love. You have come. You're a part of that. You are the fertile field. And individually, the seeds planted in that fertile field. And now I call you to do the one thing that we are called and empowered to do. Go forth, bear the fruit of God's love. With God's help, I believe we can. Thanks be to God. One way we cultivate those gifts is by affirmations of faith and creeds. And I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. Join with me as we affirm our faith through an affirmation that comes to us from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by His Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who have gathered here to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we invite you to join us for a time of fellowship out of these doors to your right in Reed Hall. And if this is your first visit with us, please stop by the Bread for the Journey table out there in Reed Hall and pick up a small loaf of bread. It's just a token of appreciation for being with us on this day. If you entered the church through the back doors off West End Avenue and you've never been to Reed Hall, stop by and say hello. Ask questions. Get to know some people. If you look in your pew racks directly in front of you, you'll see a gray card. One side is for prayer concerns and joys, and the other side is for comments or questions for staff or lay leadership. You can complete those forms and place them in the offering plate when it comes around in just a moment. Now, if you have not yet passed the attendance pads down your pew, you'll find those on the inside of each pew at the end. I invite you to pass those down now. Don't hesitate to record your attendance. We will not wear you out or accost you over the phone. We just want to capture your information as we get to know you. If we do communicate, it will be primarily through mail or email. I'd like to prepare us to turn our hearts toward prayer. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the way you relentlessly sow your love in the world. Sometimes it grows and sometimes it doesn't. But Lord, we're a people of hope. And that hope is grounded in the abundance in which you sow your love, in which you spread it. You continue to spread it. Loving God, as we observe the world, we sense that the world at large is often in chaos. And we ask that you hear all the silent cries of your people, the gags and numbness of all oppressed, the despair and horror of all war-bound, the hunger and hopelessness of all famine and poverty-stricken, the fear and anxiety of all refugees and homeless, the pangs and scars of all abused and assaulted, the fury and rage of all exploited, and the vulnerability of all discriminated and marginalized. God of compassion and healing, hear the anguish of your people, heal the wounds of your healing presence, and restore the image of God in all your children. Lord, we lift up the uncle of David Bone, who passed away this past week, and the mother of Rodney Pickett and Brian Robertson, who's passed away as well, whose service will be this afternoon. We pray in the name of the one who bears the cross, transforming it into the hallelujah of Easter. And now we join our voices in the words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Open your hearts and minds to the Spirit of God in this place, and give generously, not only of your gifts, but of your prayers and your presence, your service, and your witness, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Two brief announcements before you leave. You heard John mention Joyce Pickett's service, Rodney Pickett's mother. That service will be this afternoon at 5 in Russell Springs First United Methodist Church. Visitation begins just prior to that at 2 this afternoon. And also, if you have seen Val Brooks in the last little while, please let one of the ushers know. We're trying to find him. We need to check on Val for something. So if you have seen Val Brooks, please let one of the ushers know, or you can let me know as you come out this door. Now go forth from this fertile field to bear fruit for the kingdom of God, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do. And God, whose loving light shines through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to reflect that light, be with you this week and forevermore. Go in peace.